Lord, we do thank you that we can come together in your house and, Lord, study your word together. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your divine revelation in the perfect word of God. And, Lord, you have spoken to us so we would know how to live and how to get to heaven and what you're like. We don't have to guess. And so we want to study your word. We want to know what you have to say to us. And that's why we're here this morning. Ask you to give me clarity of thought. Give us wisdom and understanding as we study your word this morning. Now bless our time together as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It was an exciting time in the Saint family. They had four children, and their youngest son was going to graduate from high school. They had lived for a while in Ecuador as missionaries, and one of their son's requests was that a man who had come to live with them for a while, who was actually a native Indian from Ecuador, they had kind of adopted as their grandfather, and he had lived with them in their home. And he really wanted this man to be able to come. His name is Minkay. Wanted Minkay to be able to come to his graduation. Now, of course, the difficulty is the man was born in Ecuador, didn't have a passport, didn't have a birth certificate, any of those kind of things. But as they prayed about it, the Lord really opened the door supernaturally, and this man was able to come to his graduation. Now, you say, so what? Well, let me give you the rest of the story. The amazing part of the story is this man who was named Minkay was a member of the Aka Indian tribe. And just as grandfather could not be there because he had been killed by this very man. Now, back in 1956, you may remember the story about the five men who went to try to reach the Aka Indians. And the most famous of those is Jim Elliot. But there was also a man named Nate Saint. And these five men were trying to reach this tribe, and they had flown in, and they were attacked, and they were all killed. Now, fast forward to late 1900s, 1999, and this graduation takes place, and here's what had happened. After these men were killed, several relatives, one being Elizabeth Elliot and also Rachel Saint, did not give up on those Indian tribes. Now, remember, Elizabeth Elliot's son had been killed by these people. And yet they went in and they went back in and made great headway and were able to reach those people. And when Rachel Saint passed away, Nate Saint decided to take his family for a few years and go and work with those people. And that's when Minkay, who had killed Nate Saint, came and actually lived with these people. And he was the one that they had come to the graduation in the United States. The man who had killed their grandfather, Nate Saint. Isn't that amazing? Now, folks, that is an example of a kind of love that only God can give. This is a supernatural love. The world is not able to love like that. And by the way, you and I can't love like that either unless we are filled with the Spirit of God. But this is what we're learning in Luke chapter 6 as we're studying the Sermon on the Mount, just a short part of it. Is that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he came and preached this famous sermon, said to people who said, you know what, love your friends, but it's okay to hate your enemies. He comes on the scene with a totally different message. And as we looked at this passage last week, we saw a division as we looked at the blessed person and their view of themselves. And I want to review real quickly and then try to move ahead. But notice in verse 20, of Luke chapter 6, we're going to find the description of the blessed person. Now, the blessed person is a saved person. It is a child of God. There's also a list of those that have woe or curses upon them. These folks are not children of God. And by the way, remember, you are one or the other. You are either a child of God this morning, or you are a child of the devil. There is no middle ground. You have either been born again and received spiritual life, or you are dead in sin and have no spiritual life. One or the other. Now, how do you know which is which? Well, let's look at the passage. The blessed person, the saved person, says, blessed be ye poor. And again, we said last week in Matthew, says poor not materially, but what? Poor in spirit. He said, blessed be the poor in spirit, or the poor one. Blessed are ye that hunger now. That is a spiritual hunger. Blessed are ye that weep now. This is contrition for sin, repentance. He said, look, you are a blessed person if you, at some point in your life, you have said, you know what? I am a sinner. I am poor spiritually. I am destitute spiritually. There is nothing good about me that will gain me an entrance into heaven. And you say that you want to be saved, you want to be righteous, you want to be like God, and you trust Christ, and you repent of sin, you become a child of God. Chad did that, was that Friday night? Thursday night. Amen. You went from being a child of the devil, by faith you became a child of God. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. So here's the blessed person. He says, he goes on, and I said, there's a people that are cursed. Woe unto you that are rich. Now again, not talking about material things. Talking about people who think they're okay spiritually, even though they're not children of God. That their own righteousness is good enough. How many of you know someone like that who would say, oh, I'm okay. I'll make it to heaven because I'm a good person. Sure. Sure. They think that they're okay. They think they are rich spiritually. He goes on, he says, but woe unto you that are full. Woe unto you that laugh now. Woe unto you, and all men shall speak well of you. All these things, folks, are speaking of people who spiritually think they're okay all by themselves. Now look, if you're going to go to heaven, or if you're on your way to heaven, there had to be a point in your life where you said, I am dead spiritually. There's nothing good about me. All of my righteousness, all of my good works are filthy rags. Nothing that I can do will get me to heaven. And you turn by faith to Christ. And you placed your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Oh, by the way, here's the great thing. Christ became poor so we could become rich. You may not know this, Chad, and there's a lot you've got to learn here as you grow spiritually. But when you got saved, you were in poverty spiritually. But Jesus Christ took your poverty to make you rich. And you are a rich man today. It may not show in your bank account, but your name is written in heaven. What a wonderful truth. Wonderful truth. Now, we are surrounded in life by people who are lost. They're on their way to hell because of sin. How can we reach them? Well, you throw rocks at their house and sinner, wicked sinner, you're going to die. Ah, right? Have a lot of impact. You'll spend the night in jail, maybe several nights. You harass them every time you see them. You yell across the lawn, you're going to hell, you wicked shit, right? That'll reach them, won't it? You know, it really is an amazing thing that the task we have set before us to reach a lost world. We're surrounded by people who are under the curse. They will die and they will go to hell if they don't get saved. And somehow we've got to go to them and get them to see that they are lost and that they need a Savior. Now, folks, that's no easy task. Now, what is it that can break down the barriers and give us an open witness to people? Well, let's read on in verse 27. And he says, but I say unto you which hear, now he's talking to a different group. He's specifying now people who have listened, people who are Christians, they are children of God, they've heard the gospel. And here it is, folks. Love your friends. That wouldn't be too hard. Well, that may be hard too. I've met some of your friends. No, I'm just kidding. Love your enemies. Wow. Pretty tall order, isn't it? You see, folks, that's not normal. That is supernatural to be able to love someone who has done you wrong. It was supernatural for Nate Saint to go in to Ecuador and allow a man who had killed his father to live with he and his family. That is supernatural. Supernatural. It can only be done as we are controlled by the Spirit of God. But it doesn't stop there. He says, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. That's easy, isn't it? I guarantee if I had you raise hands this morning, almost every one of us would say, you know, I was in traffic this week, somebody cut me off, and I had some wicked thoughts. And that's really a minor thing, unless you pulled out a gun or did something, you know, got your baseball bat out and went after them. And yet God says, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to do good. Now, again, what do you naturally want to do to those that are mean to you? Well, you want to be mean to them. Sure. Get even. Sure. Now he goes on. He said, look, bless them that curse you. Wow. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And by the way, we mentioned last week, that's not praying down the wrath of God on them. That's praying that God would touch their heart and save them. Wow. Now let me ask you a question. The people you know that are unbelievers, they may be in your family, which I think is probably the hardest people to reach. Is it easy to love people who treat you wrong? People who condemn you? People that laugh at your religion? People who mock you? I was talking to someone this week. Who was I talking to? Oh, Darren. I was talking to Darren yesterday. Come think of it. And he was talking about his mom passed away, and he was going to the funeral, and the brother said, don't come out here and give us any of this Jesus stuff. His supposedly saved brother. Wow. And yet, folks, God's command to us is, look, if you're going to have an impact on people's lives, you're going to have to love them. You're going to have to be kind to them. You're going to have to bless them when they curse you. You're going to have to pray for them. You're going to have to show a supernatural love to these people. Now, that's as far as we got last. Well, no, we've got more. That is your actions toward them. And then he talks about our reactions. Let's move on quickly. I got to hurry. I'm getting bogged down here. And it says, verse 34. How about verse 32? For if you love them which love you, this is great. In fact, I could even go back to verse 27. We haven't read anything yet, have we? All right, let's go to verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, I may read the whole chapter before long, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. Now here's the new section. And unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek, offer also the other. Now, again, I think we're talking in this passage about a very specific thing. When they smite you, they're persecuting you for righteousness' sake. It's not somebody come up and trying to rob you or beat the snot out of you on the sidewalk, you know? Just hit me again, buddy. Go ahead, take all I got. No, it's when for righteousness' sake they are beating on you. It says they take your cloak. Forbid him not to take your coat also. Give to every man that asketh of you. They say, oh, you're a Christian. I'll come to you. You've got to give it to me. You're a Christian. He said, give it to him. He goes on, he says, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. If they're stealing things from you, taking your stuff because you're a believer, and they're trying to persecute you, what are you supposed to say? Help yourself, brother. You say, this is not reality. It's not possible. No, it's not possible without the Holy Spirit helping us. So here's our actions, here are our reactions to those. Now, I want to move on quickly. Verse 31. Here is the controlling principle of love. Verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Now, what do we call this? How many of you are hot? How many don't care? Okay, good. It's about to kick on, I think, but I'm burning up. I can make it kick on. Very good. Did you answer the question yet? I'm sorry. My mind's going about four different directions here. The question, what do we call this? We call it the principle here. The golden rule. Very good. The golden rule. Now, it's interesting. About every religion has a golden rule. Let me read some of the other ones. Now, again, I want to read the one in the text. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Now, here is the different religious golden rules. Notice if you can see a difference. The Jewish rabbi Hillel said, what is hateful to yourself, do not to someone else. The book Tobit in the Apocrypha says, what you yourself hate to no man, do. Confucius said, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. The Stoics said, what you do not want to be done to you, do not to anyone else. Now, do you see a difference? What's the difference? Exactly right. Every one of those is in the negative. And if you think about it, it's basically very selfish. If you don't want someone to meet you, treat you mean, because you want them to treat you nicely, what do? You treat them nicely. It's all about self, isn't it? It's all very self-serving. Now, this is actually very different from what the Lord Jesus Christ taught here. He says, look, it is not important how they treat you. You treat people the way you want to be treated. It is not necessarily you treat people a certain way so they will treat you a certain way. You treat people the way you want to be treated. Why? Because you love them, because you're trying to reach them. Now, there's the principle of love. There is the principle laid out for us very clearly. It is not a selfish thing. Okay, I'm going to be nice to Priscilla because I want Priscilla to be nice to me. Now, who's that all about? Me. But if I say, I'm going to be kind to Priscilla because that's how I'd like people to treat me, that's totally different. Do you see the difference? I know there's a fine line in there probably, but there's a difference. Okay? All right. Now, let's look further. Verse 32. He condemns the world's love. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? What's the point? What's the point? If you love the people who love you, what's the big deal? That, you can do that naturally, can't you? People love you. It's easy to love people who love you. It sure is. Sure. Okay? He goes on, same idea, moving on. He says, for sinners also loves those that love them. He said even the unsaved people can do that. Verse 33, if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, now you get the picture there? Ed Perkins has got some stuff that I want to borrow. So when Ed comes to me to borrow something of mine, what do? Oh yeah, help yourself, because I know down the road I'm going to borrow some of his stuff, see? I just borrowed something from Ed a while back, and I'm waiting for him to come to me, because I've got nothing he would want to borrow, but so... He said, for sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Do you see the principle? He said, look, the world's idea of love and the golden rule is not enough. Because that's what the world does. They can do that in their flesh. You can do that in your flesh. You can love those that love you. You can lend to those that you hope to lend from someday. See? Again, it's all about self. He said, that's not enough. He said, that's not good enough. Now, verse 35. Here's the conclusion about those who love. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Do you see the difference, folks, between the world's love and the Christian's love? He said, look, you love them, you do good to them, you lend to them with no hope of getting anything back. That's how a Christian should be. And it says, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Now, it's interesting. Early on in this passage, he talked about a reward in heaven. This is not a reward in heaven. This is actually a reward in this world, and it's amazing some of the things that we're going to have. He said, look, if you do this, you shall be, or ye shall be known to be, what? The children of the highest. What's the point? If you love, like he's talking about in Luke chapter 6, when you love your enemies and you're good to those who hate you and you lend to those who are not going to lend to you and you bless those that curse you and you pray for those that mistreat you, what does it prove? What did the passage say? And ye shall be known or shall be the children of the highest. What's the point? Well, if I live like that, I'll earn salvation and I'll be able to heaven, right? It'll make me a child of God. No. Okay, I've got you in a quandary, I can tell. What's the point? When you live like that, your testimony will be that you are a child of God. You say, I don't get it. Wait a minute. Let's see. Do we have any... We have some... want to say we've got the Wamplers sitting right here together. And, of course, Joe's not here this morning, but David, I hate to tell you this, but you resemble your father. Why is that? Well, obviously, your mother and father passed down their DNA to you, and, of course, you were raised in a certain environment and different things, and you're like your father and your mother to some degree. My poor daughters. One of them has my skin color, and the other one kind of looks like me, and they both got married anyway. It's a blessing. I think they had enough of their mother in them that they did okay. But often, the children bear great resemblance to the parents. Now look, what is our father like concerning love? Well, he is love, okay? In 1 John it says, God is love. Now, when I love like this, it proves that God indeed is my father. I mean, isn't that one of the great reasons that Christ saved you? Well, yes, he saved us so we could go to heaven, undoubtedly. There's great truth there. Turn to Romans chapter 8 real quickly. I think we've got time for this. Romans chapter 8, probably my favorite chapter in the Bible. Great chapter. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 14. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God... Now, again, what does the Spirit produce in your life? The fruit of the Spirit, the very first one is? Love, all right? If you are led by the Spirit of God, if you are loving, it says what? They are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Then, I want you to go down to verse 29. Same passage. I'm not going to talk about election here this morning. I just want to give you a truth out of the middle verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, when you are a child of God, God is desiring to change you and make you like Christ. We're to be conformed to his image. In 2 Corinthians 3:18 it says, but we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Remember the process. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God to make us like the Son of God. That's, by the way, if you're a believer, that should be going on in your life every day, every moment. Spirit of God takes his word to change you, to make you like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's making us like Christ, who is God. God is love. So what is God trying to do in your life? He's trying to conform you to his image and make you a person who loves, just like Luke chapter 7 or 6. So he says, look, one of the benefits here, one of the rewards of loving like this, one of the outcomes of it, is that people are going to know, lost people are going to know that you're a child of God. Now, there's another one. Let's finish the lesson here real quickly. Back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And verse 37. And he says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive ye, and ye shall be forgiven. Now, we need to be careful here, because I've heard this mistranslated often. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged by whom? Well, does the passage tell us? Not that verse, but let's look at the next one. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure. All right, so if we give, we're going to get it back, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Who gives it to us? Shall men give into your bosom? So, judge not, and ye shall not be judged by whom? Men. And he says, Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned by men. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven by men. Given, and it shall be given to you by men. What's the point? Now, does this mean that we're never to say, well, I think that my sister-in-law is not saved because of the way she's living, whatever? No, in the same passage, he talks about being fruit inspectors, and by their fruits ye shall know them. I think what he's referring to here is a harsh, hard, critical, compassionless hostility to our enemies. Ah, wicked sinners! You know, that same spirit of yelling at your neighbor, you're going to die and go to hell tomorrow if you don't get saved. That is no place in the Christian life. I'm afraid sometimes we hear preachers preach and that's kind of the way they come across. Now look, if you try to reach people, folks, in judging them and condemning them, passing final judgment on them, and we are harsh with them and unloving, what are your chances of reaching them? I heard an evangelist say here at our church, well, you just tell them like it is. I mean, what are you going to do, send them to the second hell? And I thought, well, if you are unloving and vicious, you may keep them from ever opening their heart to the gospel. Folks, look, what he's saying is if you do not judge them, they're not going to judge you. And that's an amazing thought. And I'll be honest, as I studied this passage, this is kind of new to me. Don't condemn them. Don't be their final judge. And they will not condemn you. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Now, why is that, by the way? Why are all these things true? Because the world will treat you the way you treat them. See? And by the way, I heard this years ago. I thought it was a great statement. The man said, you are never, and you may have heard this before, you are never more like God than when you forgive someone. Isn't that a great truth? You're never more like God than when you forgive. And he said, if you'll forgive them, the bent will be that they'll forgive you. Now, and if you give to them, they're going to give back to you. Now, again, I've got an unsaved neighbor, and I've been trying to reach him for years. And he'll let me borrow stuff. I'll let him borrow stuff. I tried to get him to come this week, and he didn't come. But I feel open to witness to him when I want to. I mean, I have tried to be kind to him. He's been kind to me. Now, if I was mean to him, you know what he'd do? He'd cut me off in a heartbeat. He'd shut me down. Now, see, here is the end, folks, of loving like Christ. It gives you an open door of witness. Now, will anybody be saved if you just love them? No, that's not enough. But your love builds a bridge so you can reach them with the gospel. This is how we're to reach them. Love our enemies. Be kind. Do good to them who mistreat you. And the doors will open. Did you have a question or comment?
Colossians 4:6. Remember Colossians, that verse really stood out to me. If you look at that, it's really...
Sure. Look at Colossians 4:6. I'm showing great faith in you now, Bennett. Yeah, good. That goes right along with it. None of us need this, but I'm sure Bennett does. So, Colossians 4:6. Hallelujah, we all need this. Let your speech be always with grace. All right, let's have an invitation. All right, I'll be the first one forward. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. You know, and I know some of you folks have unsaved family that you're dealing with. Boy, do you ever need God's grace in your speech to know what to say? Now, all too often, I'm afraid, to the unsaved world, we come across in a very unloving, good, here's a good Southern word for you, hateful fashion. Now, the Lord said, look, if you're going to reach them, you're going to have a supernatural love. You're going to have to be able to say when they curse you out, bless you. Boy, I hope the Lord really helps you and works in your life. And when they say things about you or do things to you, you're supposed to be able to say, that's all right, you go right ahead. You're forgiven. Now, folks, that kind of love will open the door for the gospel. It will help them to see you've got something real, something different that they don't have. Now, may the Lord help us this week to be spirit-controlled believers who are able to love our enemies, do good to those which do you harm, bless those that curse you. Be kind. Be loving. And folks, if we'll do that, God's going to give you a door of utterance. He's going to open the door as you continue to love. No matter what they do, you continue to love and you continue to love and you continue to love, and God's going to change their hearts. God's going to open the door. And you'll be able to give a gospel witness and reach them for Christ. Lord, thank you again for your word. Lord, we pray that you would help us as believers to be spirit-controlled believers that love our enemies, love the lost to Christ. Lord, I know there are folks here today who have family members, some have children, some have brothers, sisters, even mothers and fathers who are lost, maybe husbands and wives that are lost. I pray you'd help us to love like the Sermon on the Mount tells us to love. Not like the world's love, but a supernatural love that will melt their hearts and open them up to the gospel, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.